David, your website certainly makes technology sound interesting. You work with the latest technology, you bring creative projects to life, and you support a community that's passionate about the responsible use of technology. And we're going to get into some of that. Mm-hmm. But tell us how the Melbourne PC User Group started.
Okay, well, it started back in the beginning of the personal computer. The personal computer was in IBM. It was founded in 1984, which I believe was sort of right after the IBM PC was released. There had been personal computers going on since the hacker movement in the Bay Area in the 70s that I wasn't involved in because I was working in Perth, but certainly interested in and following in the magazines. But with the IBM PC, a group of then total geeks started this club. Some of those total geeks, I hope you're not listening, guys, are still there. But, of course, it's morphed quite a lot since then.
So when they started out, David, what was their main game?
I'd say it was, we are really keen about this and we want to share our passion with this and we want to tinker and we want to explore the software and all that sort of stuff. So it was very much PC users doing it.
And there's still quite a bit of tinkering that goes on.
Oh, there's still a bit of tinkering, but it's not so much with IBM PCs anymore. We've got one IBM PC locked away in a very safe place, an original, which is one of the ones that I used to program an alarm system for the education department in the 1980s. So,
I remember when I first used a computer at Australian Associated Press.
Yeah.
We had newsrooms in what was then the Melbourne Stock Exchange building.
Yeah.
And we had worked on typewriters and carbon copy paper until then.
Yeah.
And the computers came in and they were big clunky things and they were green and I think the screen was green and the font was perhaps orange?
There were orange phosphor and green phosphor in those days.
Yeah, that's what I recall.
Yeah,
and they used to fail regularly with an ominous sound of a sort of a
yeah.
And you'd sweat blood over a story.
And it would crash.
And then it would crash and you would lose the whole story. Yeah. And so the challenge then was to try and write it again as quickly as possible while you could remember what you wrote.
Yes, you do actually. It is faster the second time round.
And possibly better.
Possibly better, yeah.
Now, I've been to your premises. I had the pleasure of having a bit of a tour of the premises, and they're pretty impressive, I have to say. Can you describe what facilities you have at the club?
Well, we have, if anyone's familiar with the buildings across Warrigal Road from Bunnings, we have the top floor, or half the top floor of one of those two office-y type buildings.
So this is almost opposite Kakarook Park on the corner of South Road and Warrigal Road. Is that right?
No, it's the corner of South and I can't remember the name of it, where Bunnings is. And there's a park diagonally across.
Kakarook Park is on the corner there where the park runs held.
A servo on the corner.
And what you've got in there is both sort of clubby spaces, so places for members to get together, have events, talks, make a cup of tea, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But you've also got some really interesting rooms.
Well, our main meeting room would in its day have accommodated 200 people quite easily. We don't get 200 people in the room anymore, and I actually got rid of a big pile of chairs just before COVID. It was just too much and just occupying space. That's the big room called the Borat Room in honour of the guy who founded the club. Then we have a kitchen, which is not a full catering kitchen, but coffee, tea.
But pretty close.
It's a little espresso machine
and
a microwave.
Do you hire out for functions or is it
available for hire. It is available for hire.
You've got the workrooms along the corridor
right. We have one room which used to be a real 1980s style computer training room with desk, computer, and a screen and a projector at the
front.
Sounds
like some of the university rooms that I teach in.
Yeah, you'd know them well. And we took all that out. It's now called designated the Maker Room. We have 3D printers, electronics facilities with lots of test instruments. Lots of components in various places if you care to dig through the cupboards to find what you need. And we even have a fleet of 3D printers which members can take home, which is great, and that's been very popular since.
It's great being in a club where you get to borrow things and do things. I know with the community shed that's here at Morley Community Village, both men and women use that community shed, and they can, you know, they can work in the shed or they can borrow things to take home. It's a great
idea. We have gone to the full tool library's concept yet. We've sniffed at it, and I bought a couple of things which are sitting in a cupboard somewhere. But it takes a lot of organising, and that is a problem with organising people to do the stuff, do the work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you have a lot of people who are interested in gaming and digital art in the club at this point, or is that something that you're building towards?
We are trying to attract people like that. At one stage we did host a very big gamer group, but they got too big for our place and moved on. So it's probably more towards the making art, crafts sort of stuff. So I'm certainly very happy to morph from the hardcore maker stuff, the electronics and the 3D printing, which I'm really into, and get into sort of fabrics and things that will attract more age groups and more genders. Because it's a lot of just men in the club at the moment.
So what's the Creators Collective?
A few years ago, probably getting close to 10 years ago now, there was a realisation, this before I was involved at that level, there was a realisation that IBM, Melbourne PC User Group, is a very dated kind of a brand. Our logo is actually inspired by the IBM Horizontal Blue Stripes logo. And so the then president and the committee decided to start another brand, which at first they called Melbourne Computer Club, which was really just a very soft move away.
They hadn't really moved on very far.
Then on the subsequent committee, while I was president first time around, it was changed to Melbourne Creators Collective, meant to kind of signal the that we're here to make stuff, basically. And to be quite honest, we're sort of in the process of considering making it a more streamlined name again.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, David, if there are people listening at the moment who are thinking my daughter or son or partner would love this to be involved in this, but they just don't have time to get to a club room. Do you do anything, given the technology, do you do anything online? Can people participate not just in person but online?
To a degree, yes. pardon me. To a degree, we have a number of special interest groups that we call SIGs, and with the advent of COVID, of course, a lot of that went zooming off.
It was the time of the SIGs.
Some of those SIGs do hold online meetings. Mm-hmm. There's nothing formalised at the moment. It's an idea, sort of, in terms of how to program your little microcontroller board to flash the lights or what have you, that could possibly be done.
Oh, now that's a workshop that you've actually got coming up, isn't it? You're working with microcontrollers.
I started that before I went away. We had a big overseas trip, and that kind of broke the spell for me. And I'm one of these people who runs hot and cold on things. So I've sort of cooled off on that, and I've got a bigger project, which is our studio.
Oh, tell us about the studio. Yes. This is very exciting.
This has got clear excited, I have to tell you out there, dear listeners. We decided that it would be a good idea to set up initially it was sort of called podcast, but it's now become vodcast studio.
So that means for videos as well as for audio.
Correct. The room that we're using was once the library, and it was full of 1995 edition how to use Excel type computer books and old Byte magazines,
IBM for Dummies,
all sorts of stuff like that. That's largely gone now. And what happened, we've got through an organisation called Southeast Volunteers, we wound up recruiting some young people via, I think, RMIT, I wasn't directly involved with that, to come up with a design and implement a design for this studio. And they had their first presentation to us about a week ago. It looks really good, and I'm really excited about that. We've got a budget for it, not a vast amount of money, but enough to get to some mid-level semi-professional equipment and what have you. and the room's got to be kitted out. One of the guys on that team is actually a builder type person, so we've got the skills right there. We're seeking sponsorship from a local unnamed hardware chain, it's really exciting. So that should be up and running by about the end of January.
So no ordinary computer club. I mean, hearing all the different things that you're engaged in, there really is scope for people who've got any kind of a technical interest to explore their technical interest and their creativity.
Yep. And look, if someone comes along and says, hey, look, I'd really like to start a... go abstract, underwater macrame club. If, as long as it's making stuff in a creative way, we'll say, yeah, well, look, we can help resource you. You probably should have at least one other person, so we've got to fall back, because we had one of those startups ventures sort of fail because it was only a single person. But, yeah, we're interested in trying and testing things out.
I don't think he really means an underwater macrame club.